So we're going to pick it up from where we left it yesterday, and we had started looking at how Paul, when he went to, you know, when it pleased the Father, and this we were reading from Galatians chapter 1, and where, remember, we had mentioned that Paul was an apostle, or rather he was just, you remember, when he was first a Pharisee, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, you know, and he was a persecutor of the church. But then on his way to Damascus, of which where he was going to, you know, to persecute the church, the Bible says that Jesus met him and he had this vision where the great light shone from heaven and the Lord called him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And he was told, "I am Jesus Christ whom you are persecuting." And he told him that, "Don't you know it's hard for you to kick against the thorns?" And he was told, "Go into the city and you will be told what you must do." And so immediately after that, Paul starts, at that point he's still Saul, but he starts to persecute, I mean, he starts to preach. Immediately his eyes are open, he starts to preach, he's filled with the Spirit by Ananias, he preaches. But then at some point later, the Bible says it pleased the Father to reveal the Son in him. And this is what we're picking up, that thought, that a time came as he was preaching, he realized that he was not just apart from Christ. And this was something that even the apostles were yet to understand, because later on they understand, because even Peter himself acknowledges that there are things that Paul preaches that are hard to understand, but many people, you know, misuse them and corrupt it. And that is why I say revelation. And one thing that we realize, that revelation is progressive. And God grows us in our understanding of him, or our understanding of us in him, as more we are committed. Because the more you're committed to know him, the more he releases that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that is why you see one of the constant prayers of the church is that I pray that the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may, in your knowledge of him, that you may know him better. And this is in Ephesians 1, 15, 16, 17. I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? Because when God gives you that spirit, then he enables you to know him. He enables you to know him. So when we're here in Galatians 1, he says that, and maybe we can read it, Galatians 1 from verse 13, he says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." And then verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen," or among the Gentiles, "immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." So just pause there. And the thought that I want us to pick today is the pleasure of God, or the pleasure of the Father. And we want to see what are the things that actually give God's pleasure, gives God pleasure. And one of the greatest things that God gives God pleasure is actually that he has sons on the earth, that men who he has made in his image and likeness start to function as sons of God on the earth. And you see, the first time that we see that God, you know, when God made creation, the Bible says that he saw everything, that it was good. When he made the day, he made the night, when he made the plants, when he made the animals, the Bible says, and everything was good. And even when he put Adam, he put him in the garden, and, you know, he gave him dominion. He told him to partake of whatever was available, and it was good. The only thing that we are told that he saw that it was not good is that it was not good for the man to be alone. And so the man needed a helper. So, and that is what God did. But you see, we start to see when Jesus comes on the scene, is that there are things that God promised will give him pleasure. And one of the first things that we see, if we look at some of the prophecies, like even of Isaiah, God had already promised that he will place his spirit, he will put his spirit on his servant, and that the servant that he will be pleased. But the most person that God is pleased with is actually, he was pleased with Jesus. And remember on the day of baptism, and this maybe we can read in Matthew, maybe we can look at the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3. And this is at the baptism of Jesus. And there are many portions of the baptism of Jesus. I'll just pick the one of Matthew just to drive in that point. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, "And Jesus answered unto him, Suffer it now to be so, for thus it becomes us unto fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." And this is speaking about when he comes to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, "But why do you want come to me to baptize you? It should be the other way around. It is I who needs to be baptized by you." But then Jesus tells him that, no, let it be for now. Suffer it be for so for now that we fulfill all righteousness. Verse 16. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him." So when he came out of the water, the heavens were opened unto him. "And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see that God actually got pleasure when he saw his Spirit coming to rest and to descend upon Jesus, his Son. And the Bible says that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so when his Spirit comes, he is pleased. And then also there's also a second time, and maybe we can jump to Matthew chapter 12. And this is where, remember, Jesus now was with his disciples, and he decides to take just three of them. He takes Peter, James, and John, and he takes them to the mountain to pray. And the Bible says, maybe if we look at Matthew chapter 12 from verse 15, the Bible says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from them, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Verse 16, "And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax he shall not quench, till he sends forth judgment unto victory." And if you jump to Matthew 17, where it says, and verse 3, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus." So when we see, actually, there are two parts. The first part shows us that Isaiah had already prophesied that God will have pleasure when his spirit comes upon his son. And then we see in Matthew 17, when he is transfigured, the Bible says, "Behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased, in whom I am well pleased.'" And then this second time, the Lord adds, "Hear him." So God continues to affirm Christ, Jesus, as his son before his disciples. And even remember, Peter later on says, "We were there with him on that holy mountain, and we heard his voice." We heard that voice from the excellent glory. And this you can read in 2 Peter 1:17, that where it says that, "This is my beloved son." We were there. We heard his voice. That voice on that majestic mountain where it said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." So you can easily think that, okay, well, this one is just for Jesus and Paul. But you see, Paul also realizes that it pleased the Father that he can reveal his son in me. And I also want you to know that God takes great pleasure when you come to understand, when you come to the knowledge of who God chose you to be in him. And the Bible says that it was even before the foundations of the earth were laid. And that's why Paul says that that God set me apart while from my birth, that before I was born, he called me by his grace. And I'm going to ask us to go to Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we are going to see it actually gives God great pleasure that he has sons. And this pleasure was his decision. He had chosen it. He had chosen you and me, even before the foundations of the earth were laid, to be chosen in Christ, because God desired to have family. God desired to adopt us into his family. And let us read in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 3. And the Bible says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And remember, I always keep saying, anytime you read Christ, you must think of that eternal Spirit of God. You have to think of the Holy Spirit. You have to think of the union of Christ and the church, Jesus Christ and the church. You have to think of Christ as a place in the Spirit, heavenly places in Christ. You have to think of a place of this throne of God where we are elevated, where the highest throne, the office, or rather even the office of the Son of God, where it is that throne of grace, where it is far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all dominions, that is Christ. So there are many definitions of Christ, but in this place, that now that what I want you to see is that this is speaking about the place, the heavenly place in Christ, which is one of the definitions of Christ. So we are blessed with God. We are blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So now when you're speaking of this Christ, we're speaking of the position where you and I are positioned in Christ in heavenly places, and we are positioned inside Christ, in the place in Christ, in heavenly places. And verse 4 it says, "And according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Just to shortly say that, God is saying that before the foundation of the world was laid, he had already chosen us in him. He had chosen us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That means that God loved us, and he chose us even before we appeared on the scene. We appeared on the earth. But there is a condition for us to be in that chosen. What does that mean? It is only when we come and make that decision to follow Christ that we enter into our destiny as God had written it in heaven. So, your life in Christ, your life was already in Christ, in God, and God had chosen you in Him before the foundations of the earth were laid. And for everyone, God has that place. He has created a mystery that you and I are chosen before God, in God, to be holy and blameless before Him. And remember, I always keep saying our holiness and our blamelessness is in His sight. Why? Because we are in Christ. And God does not look at us. God looks at Christ. Now, this is not an excuse for sin and immorality, but it is for us to know the reverence or the beauty that God has chosen us in Him to be holy and blameless in His eyes. And this is because of His love. And when we're looking at that, Ephesians 1:4, and it says that before the foundations of the earth were laid, Christ chose us in Him. God chose us in Him. And verse 5, which He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And if you see, there's an asterisk there, into the adoption of sons. Now, adoption, let me use the one, adoption of sons or adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, we have been looking at the theme, God's good pleasure. Paul said, it pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me, that when He had chosen me before the foundation of the earth were laid, according to His grace. Now, when He came to Christ, when Jesus was baptized, He came out of the water. The Bible says that the voice was heard in heaven saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. When the Holy Spirit came and descended upon Him. Now, Paul is telling us in the book of Ephesians that you see, God, when He had predestinated us to be adopted as sons or as children, that means that it gave God great pleasure to have children, to have sons of God. That means that when anyone on the earth who has come into that realm, into the place where we can start living according to what God had purposed us to live, then that is when our real life starts. You see, many people are on the earth, but when they come to the courts of heaven, they are yet to find out why they were really put on the earth. They are not doing what God called them to do. There is a predestination that God has predestined all of us in Christ. But it is only when we choose to obey Him that we come and enter into that will, enter into that predestination, enter into that purpose which was in Christ. And that is when God says that, now, you are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So the same way that Christ, that Jesus, God affirmed Jesus through the Holy Spirit, He was already the Son of God. He came as the Word became flesh. The Bible says, the thing that is in you shall be called the Son of God. You know, so Mary was already told that. But now for us, we are now adopted, because we are not that only begotten Son from the onset. But you see, it pleased God. God predestinated us that in Christ, when we come into His Son, He will adopt us as children, adopt us as sons, adopt us into His family. And the Bible says, by Jesus Christ to Himself, to God, according to the good pleasure of His will. So God delights in having sons. God delights in having children. God delights in having all these men on the earth who are filled with His Spirit, who are sons of God, who are part of His family, who are operating under His leadership, under His guidance. And the Bible says that creation has been groaning as in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 2, which will be the last portion that we'll look at as we are making this point that it gives God great pleasure to reveal his son in us. That means for us to discover, for us to come to the realization that Jesus is in us. You know, someone will learn to say, I have not seen Jesus. We don't see him with our eyes. We see him spiritually. And one of the greatest forms of sight is when we see him in the Word of God and he starts to be revealed in us and we start to realize that this living Jesus is not just far away as we think of it, but he has already come to us and he's living in us. Now, I want us to read Hebrews chapter 2 and want us to read from verse 5. And the Bible says, for it was not, maybe let me read ESV, which might be simpler. It says, for it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him, you made him a little lower, a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection under his to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, verse 9, but we see him who was for a little while made lower than angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So he's speaking about Jesus. He's speaking that for a little while, God allowed Jesus to be made a little lower than the angels. Remember Jesus Christ was already had his glory. And remember, even when he prays, he said, Father, glorify me again with the same glory that I had with you. You remember? So that was the prayer of Jesus. So he was crowned, although he was crowned with glory and honor, he was made a little lower so that he might taste death for every man. He might taste death for you and me, for everyone. Verse 10, for it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, which is our key verse, in bringing many sons to glory. You see, that means that it was fitting that by him and to him all things exist in bringing many sons into glory. That means that he should make the founder or the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And then it says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified have all one source. And that is why he is not ashamed to call them his brothers. God is not ashamed to call them his brothers. Look at what God is saying. He desired, he had great pleasure. It was fitting, it was perfect, it was good in God's eyes that his children, that he should bring many sons into glory. That is why he that was in that eternal glory lowered himself to be lower than the angels, to appear as a man, to taste death for every man. And once he has tasted death of every man, now those that believe him, those that has received, he gives them the power to become sons of God, and he also brings many sons into glory. And the Bible says it was fitting that the author, the captain of their salvation, be made in the same way as partakers of flesh and blood. And maybe if we read verse 14, it says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood or are partakers in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Verse 15, for surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham, or the seed of Abraham. Verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for their sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that God was pleased to have children. God's greatest desire, after he made all this, he actually wanted sons of God. He wanted you and I to be brought into glory, to share into that glory that he has. It pleased him. It was fitting that he can bring other sons into glory. And you see, initially the angels were the sons of God. But when the angels were in eternity, he wanted to demonstrate another mystery of other sons who are now in the physical dimension, who are in time, and who he can show them something called mercy. Angels, they don't have any mercy. They don't experience any mercy. When they sin in eternity, and they are judged in eternity. But when you and I, when we fall in time, we still have a chance to redeem that. So this is a wisdom of God. This is a mystery of God, a dimension of time where he allows us the choice to choose him, to enter into his good pleasure. And when we enter into his good pleasure in Christ, then we start living according to the pleasure of heaven. And God can look down from on high and say, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. There are many people who claim to be Christians, but they are yet to please the Father. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God is in you and you're living according to it, according to his leading, then you give him great pleasure. It pleased God to bring many sons into glory. And God has done it, and he will do it, and he will continue to release his glory in you and me. I'll stop there, and you're welcome for any reflections as God places in your heart.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel, for the word. Indeed, it's a great reminder that we are chosen.
Amen.
Anything else? To be beyond the desires and the weaknesses of our flesh. I just needed to seek for clarification on this Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5.
Yes.
When God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. Mm. Because I was a little bit confused there. I've known and I've always known that we're God's children. And when I read the word adopt here, I'm trying to understand, is it that our sinful nature then takes us away from God? The only way to get us back is through adoption, or maybe you can help me understand this.
Okay. Now, I'll just give you this verse. Think of when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, and he told them that you are of your father. Mm. What did he tell them? You are of your father, the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. He is a liar and is the father of all liars. That means that when in our fallen nature, when Adam sinned, and when we follow the dictates of the devil, we can no longer say that we are children of God. You understand? Our source, you know, father means source. What is your source? Who is the one that is driving your life? Now, if you're led by sin, you're not of God. That is the reality. And anyone who has not come into Christ, and that's why if you look at verse 4, it says, he has chosen us in him. That means, and he has adopted us by Jesus Christ. You see that difference? It is by Jesus. It is only through Jesus that we are adopted to be children of God. And that's why, you remember John chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, it says, yet to those who believed him, to those who received him, he gave them the power or the right to become children of God or to become sons of God. That means not everyone is a son of God. You understand? So it is only by Christ that he adopts us. And that's why I'm saying many people are walking. But until the day you come and choose him, then you'll... Why? Because he chose you. But you have to also choose him. That is the place of your will. Your will is the one that brings you into the destiny that God preordained for you. Then he can tell Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So the place, if you want to be known by God, come and enter into Christ and into his will. That is the only way. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father apart from me. Yeah. So I think that's just how simply I'll put it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you, we give you glory, we honor you. Thank you that it was for your good pleasure that you reveal the Son in us, that you, it is for your good pleasure that you call us sons, that you desire to have sons, and this was even before the foundations of the earth were laid, that you chose us in Christ, that you predestinated us to be adoption, to the adoption as children, as sons through Jesus Christ. And I pray today that we enter into that knowledge, into that awareness, into that revelation, into that understanding that you have a divine plan, you had a divine purpose, and you love us and you are concerned for us. I pray for my brother, my sister, who needs this truth, who needs to understand that they are called to greatness, they are called to glory, they are called to the glory of the sons of God. That glory that comes from you, our Father, the one that loves us, that you did not fear to be a partaker of flesh and blood. And likewise also, by that you bring us to be partakers of your divine nature, by faith, through knowledge of you. Indeed, this is divine exchange, and we are grateful for it. May your name be praised, may your name be worshipped, and may your name be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and blessed morning ahead.